surely feel the need of your prayers this afternoon. Enjoy just a wonderful time this morning being able to sit and hear my brethren preach the gospel. The Lord truly bless them to speak on the wonderful works of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the complete work of salvation that was accomplished in the Lord sending His darling Son Jesus here into this world. Jesus coming for His people and dying for them and paying a sin debt for them. And all that was accomplished in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, and all that we have look forward to because of what He has already done for us. And if I know my heart this afternoon, I just want to share with you what I heard this morning one more time. I pray the Lord would give us a fresh anointing so that we might feel that it's just as real to us as the first time we heard it, just as meaningful. And there's a coldness that can creep in so easily in our lives. When we hear these things, they don't always move us like they have in the past. And that's a sad situation when we get that coldness. And not anything you can do to manufacture warmth. When you're cold and you need the Lord to warm you up. And so we can be praying and do need to pray. I appreciate the humble prayer that's already been offered. That the Lord would just stir our hearts, even this afternoon, that we might be mindful of what a great work the Lord did in saving His people from their sins. That we would not get weary of hearing it, but it might sound sweeter and sweeter to us. It seemed that way this morning, and I pray that it will be that way this afternoon. We sang a hymn, How Firm a Foundation, and at the top of that hymn, it tells us where that song basically comes from. And the song is a beautiful hymn, one that I have loved for a long time. But the reason I love that hymn is because it's founded just on God's Word. It's in the truth. It is the truth. And Isaiah 43 is from whence that hymn was taken. At least that's what's written at the top. And from the language of the hymn, you see a lot of the words of Isaiah 43. So if you have your Bibles this afternoon, just look for a little while at Isaiah 43. If I have any subject, this is it. I hesitate to say I don't think I'll be long before you very long, because those are some of the times that I've spent the longest in the pulpit. But with that being said, I don't think I'll be before you very long this afternoon. But you just pray for me that the Lord would bless the time that we share together, looking here for a little while at a portion of God's Word. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. For I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." And that's reading from the first verse down through the seventh verse of the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. It says, "But now saith the Lord." That's what we're here to listen to today, not just what I think or what any of us think, but what does the Lord say to us? What does His Word tell us? His Word is what we need. The minister is admonished to preach the Word. and to be instant in season and out of season. We're to stand and declare unto God's little children, not just the thoughts that we might have, but what God's Word says. And of course, we need the Lord blessing us by the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the liberty to preach. The Apostle Paul asked for a tongue, for them to pray for that a tongue of utterance might be given to him, that he might speak as he ought to speak. And that's certainly what I desire today, that the Lord would supply that. But there's the word of the Lord that we have to share. Isn't it good that the Lord has given us his word? That we have that instruction for us in this time world as we live here. The Bible is of such value to us. We ought to spend more time reading it, more time studying it, more time looking at it, and more time hearing His Word preached. And I certainly commend you and those that are making an effort to hear the Word today. I'm certainly thankful that the Lord's given you that hunger, that desire, and that appetite, that you're concerned about what the Bible says. There are so many in the world today that could care less about what's written in God's Word. They're not interested in it. There are some that hate it and despise it. If they could, they would have every Bible burnt and no one preaching anywhere. They'd close the doors to every church. They would have the church doors here shut. They would, if they could cut it off, they would. But the Lord has given us His Word and He's preserved His Word. He's kept it here for us. Today we can turn like we are now and we have many times before and read the wonderful words that the Lord has preserved, every one of them, for us as we live here in this world. And you know, you can pick up your daily newspaper and you'll find a lot of things out of date in that paper. A lot of things that are not beneficial to you. A lot of things that would be better off if it never was put in print. But God's Word is timely and more so than the newspaper. It's as up to date as anything else. As a matter of fact, it's up to date all the time. It's a sufficient supply for us. Wherever we are and whatever we're going through in life, we have a place to go. And we have many dark times and many difficult days in our lives. And being a little child of grace, being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, even following and walking in the truth doesn't mean that we won't have those difficult times. As a matter of fact, we have just the opposite promise, that yea, any of you that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That we will have trials and temptations and problems. And the writer here tells us, we read it in your hearing, it's not if you go through problems, it's when you go through problems. It's not if you have trials and troubles, it's when you go through trials and troubles. But we have a place to come. We have words of wisdom. You know, it's often a real blessing when you get a nice little card in the mail from someone who's thought of you, and they often will pick out a card that just hits the spot. You know, it just says the things that you need to hear. In our Bibles, we have a love letter that's sent to us from heaven by God the Father, given to us by inspiration of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's just for us for today. This word was good yesterday. It'll be good today and it'll be good forever. We can come to it, come to our Bibles, come to the Word of God, and the Lord will bless us as we look to Him and talk to us right out of His Word. You know, some people believe that the Lord's going to talk to me in a dream, or the Lord's going to speak in an audible voice to me, or some people hear audible voices and think it's the Lord. Some people dream dreams and we might consider it to be the Lord. And I'm not saying that the Lord can't speak to us or that the Lord might not give us a dream, but we're to try everything and every experience in our life by the Word of God to decide whether if this is of the Lord or whether it's not. We're to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. And how do we try the spirits? We use the Bible. We use God's written Word. And here He says, "Now thus saith the Lord." That means, pay attention, little children of God. Tells me, pay attention. Tells me to tell the people of God to pay attention. This is the Word of God. Isaiah says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee." Who is Who is the one speaking to us? The one that created us. Now, that tells us that we didn't create ourselves. We were created. That thee is a singular pronoun. In the Bible, in the King James Bible, you'll see the words thee and thou used often, and then you'll see the words you and ye used often. And sometimes we wonder, why do we have a you, and why don't we have a thee, and why do we have a thou, and why don't we have your? Why is it that those are there? Well, in the Old English, when you had the thee and the thou, that declares there's one. There's only one. God is, our Lord is one God. The Lord our God is one God. He's not three gods. He's manifested three persons, but one God manifest in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And that's why when we see that in the Bible, we refer to Him as thee and thou. Now, in our English, we use you as both singular and plural. So you can have one, you can refer to God as you in the sense, but understand in your heart that's only one God. In the King James Bible, when you see it, that does give us a lot of information, though, when you're reading that. When you see the ye, you know He's talking to more than one. When you see the thee, He's talking to one. He says, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. Now, He's speaking specifically to Jacob. But Jacob was represented, and He calls him later Israel. And that was another name. Israel and Jacob is the same name of the same individual. Remember in the New Testament, we're told that Jacob have a love, but Esau have a hated. And that's a picture of God's elect, a picture of God's elect family. Now, there is a people of God that are identified even in Jacob. When we think of Jacob, we think of God's elect children. Those that have been chosen out of nature's darkness. And those that are chosen of the Lord, but even before the foundation of the world. And then called out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light. He says, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. So as we're reading this, you can take this individually, specifically to you as a little child of grace. The Lord's writing to you. The Lord's giving us this. As one of His little children, one of His chosen, He says, He that formed thee and He that created thee, He said, fear not. What wonderful words that is for God's little children in the world that we often get afraid. You get afraid of everything. Afraid of this, afraid of that, afraid of what's coming, afraid of what we're going to have to face. I love the words of the Savior Himself as he wrote there in John chapter 14, that very familiar passage. We probably could quote that, but then I find oftentimes when I make an effort to quote, I do so much misquoting. We read from John 14 where He said this to His children, to His disciples. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let not your heart be troubled. That's one of the messages of the gospel. Don't be afraid. Fear not. How is it possible that we should not be afraid here in this world? How is that possible? Because there's a God who's on His throne. And there's a God who's in control. There's a God who made us. And there's a God who's keeping us. There's a God who set us apart, sanctified us. Even before the foundation of the world, He chose us. There's a God who loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son here into this world to die for us. There's a God the Son who loved us so much that He came willingly and suffered and died in our room instead. And there's God the Holy Spirit that's awakened us and taken up His abode in our heart in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Made us new creatures in Christ where we've been made accepted in the Beloved. There's a God who's taken care of all that we stand in need of. And every trouble that we go through, every problem that we face, all of them are known unto Him. And we don't have to be afraid. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. What a blessing today if you believe in God. If you believe in God, it's because He's worked in you the ability to believe in Him. I could tell you about that all night, all day, all on through the night. And it would be of no benefit to you unless the Lord had first worked that work in your heart. God is the one who gives us life. And in that life, we're given faith. And faith is the ability to believe in the Lord. Until you have faith, you can't believe. And until you have life, you can't have faith. Faith is not in every man. Faith is the gift of God. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And that's Jesus speaking, that you believe in God the Father. He's talking to God's little children that believe in God the Father. But let's also believe in God the Son. Let's just not believe in Him as the name Jesus, as the name Christ, and as the name Lord. Let's believe that He is a fulfillment of all that those names mean. Jesus is Lord. That means He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not a little Jesus. He's not a weak Jesus. He's not a try-to-be, wanna-be Savior. He's a Savior who came to save His people from their sins, and He did what the Father sent Him to do. He loved His people. He's made us. He created us. He's made us alive. If we're alive naturally, it's because He made us. And He watched over us from the time we were formed and fashioned in our mother's womb. And He's been with us every step of the way. Even when we weren't thinking about Him, I had any thoughts in regard to Him. Even in the times that our minds and thoughts were going in every direction but towards the Lord. The Lord saw fit to call us out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light and give us a love for things we'd have never loved and a hatred for things we'd have loved all the way. And that's the work of grace in your heart. Today, if you're able to believe in Him, believe in God, believe also in His Son. That means exercise the faith that God's given you to believe that God is the one who created the heavens and the earth, to believe that what Jesus did was when He came to save His people, He did just that. He saved us. And He delivered us. And He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." That means many places of heavenly abode. Now, I believe this has an application both here in time and also in an eternal sense. There are mansions that we have here in this world as we live, where we find fellowship with the Lord. I believe on the meeting this morning, as we gathered there, and I was at my home, and you, many of you at your homes or wherever, and we were able to gather, and we were able to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, and I felt the manifest presence of the Lord, and I prayed with the brethren, and sang with the brethren, and heard the preaching, and felt the Lord's manifest presence. I felt like I was in a heavenly place in a mansion right there in my home. And there are many places of heavenly abode that the Lord has provided for us as we live here in this time world. I believe we've gathered in one this afternoon when we feel the Lord's presence, where two or three are gathered in His name. He said, "Behold, I am there in His midst." And that's a place of heavenly abode. That's really what that word mansion means. It means a heavenly abode. It means a place where you abide in the fellowship of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Now, there'd be some who would argue with us today and said, "Well, I don't see God. You say that He's here, but I don't see Him. You say that the Son is here, but I don't see Him. You say there's a Holy Spirit, but I can't see Him or feel Him." I want you to know that when the Lord says that where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst, that's a promise, and we've got a God who's a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God. That word covenant keeping just simply means He keeps His promises. The Lord said if we meet to worship Him in spirit and in truth, He would be with us. And I believe He keeps His promise. There are some times I don't see it like I do other times because iniquity, sin has separated me from Him. Isaiah in chapter 59 talks about that somewhat, how sin can separate us from the manifest presence of our Lord. He said in that first verse of Isaiah 59, He said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." In other words, there are some times that God does chasten us and separate us from a season where we can't feel Him. You ever get cold where you just can't feel Him? Where you seemingly talk, but and your prayers feel like you're talking just and you're not being heard? And then sometimes we might even feel that maybe I'm not one of His because I can't feel Him. I can't see Him like I have in the past. Well, if you know you can't see Him and feel Him the way you used to, that's surely pretty good evidence that at some time you did feel Him and at some time you did have communication with Him. And you're missing that. You're missing that feeling that you've had in the past. And that's a good evidence that you belong to Him. The good news is it's not you that made the relationship. It's He who's made the relationship. It's not you or me who's keeping ourselves. He's keeping us. It is the Lord who hath created us. And therefore, He says, He said, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. We don't have to be afraid. Our salvation is in His finished work. That's true for me, and it's true for you, and it's true for every one of God's little children that He called. And we don't know who all is the call, but we surely can see evidences in the call. God's elect children have evidence in their lives. It's not there all the time, but it does come out, and it does show up. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in the lives of God's children. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and faith and goodness and meekness and temperance. Those fruit are in the lives of God's people because He's made them alive. He's quickened them. He's brought them out of nature's darkness to His marvelous light. And then He tells us as His children, don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Don't be worried. Stop worrying. Leave it in the hands of the Lord because He created you. And He cares for you enough to send His own Son. And He died for you so that one day you'd be with Him in heaven. In a mansion. In a place of heavenly abode. Now listen, we have the taste of that here. In the Lord's house. In the Lord's church. And in the Lord, in communication. And in fellowship with Him. Anytime we're gathering and feel His manifest presence. It just becomes a bright place. It becomes a heavenly place. I think of Jacob there when he laid his head down on the rock and went to sleep and called it Bethel, you know, the house of God. The Lord was present and he knew it not. That was a little mansion for Brother Jacob back in the Old Testament. And then so many times we see like even Daniel in a den of lions. That was a mansion for Daniel because an angel was right there and he shut the mouths of the lions. That was a mansion for three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace. You wouldn't think of that as a mansion, would you? But I'll tell you it was because they were there in a furnace of fire that was so hot that the men that threw them in were destroyed by the fire. And yet they didn't even have the smell of smoke upon them. They were not hurt by the fire. And there were three that went in bound, but there were four loosed. They saw four. The king looked in and saw four loosed. Who was the fourth one that he saw loose? I know you know who that was. It was the one who's been with me in the fire furnaces that I faced. It's the one who's been with me when the den of lions seems to be so great that we're going to get overwhelmed. It's the one who's been with us when we face troubles and trials here in this world. Isn't it good to know the Creator is not going to change? And He's not your Creator because you made Him your God. He's your God because He made you His child. And He worked that work of grace in you. And He who has done that is never going to leave you. And He's never going to forsake you. And He'll love you enough at times that He'll chasten you and allow you to have those cold moments and those dark times in your life so that you'll be awakened to the fact of how much I need Him. You know you need Him this evening. I need Him, don't you? I need Him. I need Him as I'm making an effort to preach. I'm going to need Him as I get out of this pulpit and battle the old devil who's going to be right there just ready to try to lead me into some thought or lead me into some direction or lead me in some way that's going to be dishonoring to God. And we have that battle and that warfare that goes on with the old flesh. We have that old self, that old flesh to daily contend with, that old man, that old woman to keep down and keep under. We're to put off the old man, the old woman, if you will, and his deeds, her deeds, and put on the new man. That is that spiritual birth, that one that has been put in our hearts And we can walk and lean upon Him. And what will the Lord in our hearts cause us to do? Believe, trust. Got to walk by faith. Can't walk by sight. Got to walk by faith. You know, you listen to the news and here comes another variant right around the corner. Somebody else has got a cold or a sniffle and here comes someone. You wonder what it is. It could be this. Sometimes it turns out to be that. Sometimes it gets to be a very difficult thing, and even to the point of life can be taken. Someone could be lost, you know, and we think, well, that, you know, how do we live in a world that seems to be so uncertain? To us it's uncertain, but it isn't uncertain to our God. Our God knows the days and the hours that we have before us. And you know, we don't know how much time we have. Every day is a special blessing. Sometimes I'm talking to Mama on the phone and she'll say, well, you know, I've just about got through the day. I'm, God, you know, almost like they just got through the day. And I can understand it. You know, you ever just feel like, well, if I can just get through the week, if I can just get through the day, if I can get another day. You know, that's not really living much, is it? That's putting in time, but it's not much living. I tried to talk with her, and you know, really. And you know where the best place to go to talk? Because I know I need it. We go right to the Bible. And I say, let's read Romans 5 together, where it says, you know, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And how tribulation in our lives worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, so that even when you have the troubles and the problems that are coming, it is not without purpose. It's not just happening for no reason. It's not that God causes all those things to happen. Things happen in this world because sin is in this world. And trouble is in this world because sin is in this world. And God's not the author of confusion, nor the author of sin, but God's in control. And we might wonder, why do I have to go through this problem or that problem? God brings us in the way that's right for us and that's good for us. And He is in control. And if He suffers it to be, He overrules it and brings good even in our lives as we go through some difficult and hard times. That's why He said, and we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I need a little more patience, don't you? But I don't want tribulation to come because I don't want to have to learn patience through tribulation. But that's how you learn to be patient. We have to learn just to wait on the Lord. We've got news for us all today. None of us are in control. We're not running the show. The Lord is on His throne. And then it's so much better that the Creator who made the heavens and the earth and has a perfect design and a perfect order is on the throne and not you and me. Aren't you just so thankful that He's not up there hoping we do something right so that He can do something for us? That would be a mighty weak God. I'm telling you, our God is in the heavens, and He had done whatsoever He had pleased. Our God is sovereign. Our God knows everything. Our God knows what you're going through. He knows what I'm going through. He knows every need I've got. He knows it before I ask. And He's the one, if I ask right, that gives me the ability to pray. He's the one who gives me the heart to love Him. He's the one that has given me you and you me, as such as we are. To have sweet fellowship with here in this world. I tell you, I count it a real joy and a pleasure to be able to be here and just speak a few words in His name because He's been so good to us all and He's worthy to be praised. The Lord's worthy to be praised. He says, in My Father's house are many mansions. Can you think of how many blessings He's already given to us in our lives? And yet the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. There's a place that's awaiting us all, an eternal home that's there for all of His children. And He's the firstborn among many brethren. I don't know how many, but I know everyone that the Father giveth Him will come to Him. And all that cometh to Him, He will in no wise cast out. And He came down from heaven to do the Father's will, and this was the Father's will that sent Him, to give eternal life to as many as He has given Him. And that's what Jesus is going to do and has done and will continue to do until the last little air promise is born into this world and born again. And then I believe the reason for this world is over and the Lord's going to come again and we're going to be carried home to be with the Lord. I don't know how soon that's going to be, but it's a whole lot sooner than it's ever been. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's close at hand. Awake. Let us be awake. Let us be awaiting. Let us be looking. And what a blessing, because he gives us little mansions all along that where we feel his manifest presence here in this world. He says, if I go, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. You know where Jesus went to prepare a place? He went to the cross. And there at Calvary, our sins were taken off of us and placed upon him. And he bore our sins to the tree of the cross. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And because of what he's done, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Because of what he's done, he says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Chapter 43, verse 1 says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And he bought them and paid for them. Yes, he redeemed God's children that were in the nation of Israel that was in the land of Egypt. He brought them out and he paid the price for them, and he brought them out and he delivered them. But I'm telling you, the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ was for the benefit of every one of his chosen elect family, all of spiritual Israel, if you will, out of every nation, every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. And Jesus died on the cross and his blood was shed, and they were bought and paid for. We were redeemed. Redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Redeemed. Bought and purchased. He says, I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Somewhere in your life, I don't know when it happened for you. I'm not sure exactly when it happened for me, but I believe with all my heart that it has happened. I see the evidence. I hope and pray that I'm not deceived in that, but that I belong to him. He called me by my name. He says, thou art mine. Hear the individual call, the call of the Lord. Not just in general for everybody, but it's specifically for every one of his children. Isn't that good to know? The world would say the Lord's trying to call everybody. No, he's not trying. And by the way, God's never tried to do anything. He does. He's not a try. I try to do things, and sometimes I get them done, and sometimes I don't. Most of the time I don't. But the Lord doesn't try to do anything. God does it. He speaks, he commands, he works, and none can let. Our God is in the heavens, as we've already said, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And his work is perfect. You can't add to it. You can't take from it. God doeth it. He said, I have called thee by thy name. You see the difference? He called thee by thy name. That means it's not you, but your name. He called thee by thy name. And he says, that's each and every one of his little children. And he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. That means you belong to me. You're mine. You're my children. And I'm watching over you. When you go through the waters, I will be with thee. Have you felt him? Has he been there? I know there are some times we can't feel him. Doesn't mean he isn't there. You know how I know he's there? He just said he was. You know how we know the Lord's with us? Because he said he was. I might tell you I'm with you, and I might let you down. I might even try my best to be there and get hindered. I may not be able to show up. You know, how many times have we disappointed people because we tried our best to be there, but we just couldn't get there because we don't have the power to accomplish everything we desire to do. But isn't it wonderful to know that there's a God who has purpose to do his will and has the power to do his will? He will accomplish all that he's pleased to do. He says, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. He's talking to his children, and he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The one true and living God, God the Father, who loved you so much that he chose you before the foundation of the world. God the Son, Jesus Christ, who loved you so much that he shed his blood and died for you on the tree of the cross. And the Holy Spirit, who loved you so much that he came here into this world and he's working in your heart, even shedding the love of God abroad in your heart. Even when you go to pray and you don't know how to pray, he makes intercession for you. You ever just want to go to the Lord and you just don't even know what to say? And wonder, is he going to hear what I need? Am I going to be able to express it? And the Lord's right there. He's right there in the person of the Holy Spirit, communicating through Jesus Christ, who's seated on the right hand of the Father, to God the Father, who's seated on the throne, our petitions in the way that we need them, so that our prayers are acceptable unto God. You know, I just get overwhelmed with the thought that I could pray and it'd be okay with God what I say. How is that possible? Well, the Spirit gives me the unction to pray, and the Lord washes it in His own blood so that it's acceptable in His sight. And the Father's pleased to hear it because Jesus is on the right hand of the Father making intercession. This morning they were talking about that last judgment and how it seems like the court is stacked in our favor in the last judgment. I thought about it myself. I mean, if you went to a courthouse and you looked up at the courthouse and you saw the judge and you saw that he was your father, that would make you feel pretty good, wouldn't it? And then if you look at your advocate, the one who's seated to speak for you, and you saw that was your brother, who's the son of the Father, who is also your advocate, that would make you feel pretty good. It sounds like when we face judgment, we have a blessed hope in our hearts that God the Father, who has loved us, who sent our advocate, the Son, who stands in our room instead. And not only was He that, He became the sacrifice that was necessary so that you and I would be declared righteous, just as if we had not sinned, because Jesus has paid the sin debt and removed all our sins from us. That's why He'll say to us one day, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And we won't hear the other sound that would banish us into eternal torment forever, where there would be no hope. If we got our just deserts, that's what we would have. And when men hear that, they get offended by it, but it's still the truth. When God's little children hear it, they know that's the truth already, and their heart is humbled by it. And they're just so thankful for the good news where He says, "Fear not, don't be afraid. Even though that's what you deserve, I have loved you, you belong to me, you're my child, I'm going to take care of you." You know, when you have someone you love so dearly, you see somebody doing something to them, you're going to defend them, you're going to take care of them. They're the ones you love, and the greater the love, the more that's about. You and I can't begin to understand how much the Lord loves His people. And He will take care of His people. Not because we got it right, but because He loved us. He said, "When thou passest through the waters." I like the word "through." I like the word "through," don't you? We're not going to get stuck in the waters. Isn't it good to be knowing you're going through the waters? That's like when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Isn't that good? We're not going to be stuck in that. Oh, grave, you know why the grave? We're going to go. If we die, we'll probably go by the way of the grave if we die. We don't have to fear the grave. You know, don't have to worry about that. You know why? Because we're going through that. We'll be there. Our body will be there. Our soul and spirit will never enter that grave. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that good to know at the moment of death? You don't go to sleep for a while and wait a while. You go immediately. God's little children, who? The ones He created, the ones He formed, the ones He called by His name, the ones He's redeemed, they will immediately go to the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul said, "For me to be with Christ is far better." It wouldn't be just going to sleep. It's far better to be with the Lord. Isn't that good? That's the truth too. And if you can sit and think on that today and feel His presence in that, you're sitting in a mansion. Because you're not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm having fellowship with Him right here in this world. How could that be? Because He's opened that door and that way. There's a river that flows out of the throne of God, the river of His grace. And it feeds God's little children here in this world. We get to hear these truths and feel them and believe them and hold them dearly in our hearts. And that place becomes a mansion to us. He says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." In other words, you won't be alone. When you leave this world, you're not alone. Some people say, "Oh, how sad it would be to die alone." You know how many of God's children die alone? Not one. Not a single one. Because He's right there with them. As a matter of fact, he's there with them when the family no longer can be with them. When they're cut off and there's no way to be there. And even if they're there, they're not there because there's no communication. That part ceases. The old natural man breaks down and we can't communicate. But you know what? God's not hindered by any of that. As a matter of fact, they see him closer then than they ever do any other time. Does that mean anything to you? It does to me. You know, and it's the truth. I'm not just telling you a story to make you feel better. It's from the God who created us, who made this world. And at the moment we leave this, the old spirit and the soul leave this body, they go to be with the Lord immediately in the presence of the Lord. And the body goes to sleep. That's what sleeps. And it'll sleep till Jesus comes again. And when Jesus comes again, he'll bring the spirit and the souls of those that have gone on with him. And there'll be a reuniting of that body and that soul and that spirit. And what a day that will be. And you and I who are alive and remain will not prevent or go before them that are asleep. But they'll arise and we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And this old man, this old woman that we contend with now. And I said to you, fight the good fight. You'll have to fight it this afternoon. Probably fighting it right now on your seat as you're sitting there. The old man, the old woman would cause us to go another direction. Think about other things. Listen, you fight that good fight, but one day that fight will be over too. We won't have that battle anymore. We'll be made and fashioned, body, soul, and spirit, like our glorious Lord and our Savior. And like Brother Barney said this morning, the Lord's already proven how he's going to do that when he took Enoch up. And he also proved how he's going to do that when he took Elijah up. And the Lord has already shown us he has the power to translate one and bypass death altogether. Isn't that good to know? Brother Tommy Roundtree, I've told you many times, I always said I want to see the uppertaker, not the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker to come. I'd rather bypass the undertaker. But we may go that way. And if we do, it'll be all right because we have no reason to fear. Because why? Because he's made us. He said, when I pass it through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Like the Hebrew children didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. That's how great God's deliverance is. And why? He said, for I am the Lord thy God. Hear that again. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. That all means God's going to take care of us in this old troubled world, no matter what we face, no matter what we have to endure, no matter what comes. We're to put first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else that we stand in need of will be added to us. He said, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south. He said, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. That's talking about every one of God's little children. He's going to call them. He's going to have them all with him. You know how many he's going to lose? Not one of them. If it was left up to the preacher, he'd lose. He wouldn't get any. If it was left up to you or me, the Lord didn't put it in the hands of puny man to do what only he could do. He did it. And he says, even everyone, how many? Everyone that is called by my name. Jesus calls them. For I have created him. Why? For my glory. That we might be praising him. And I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. And when the Lord has done a work. Again, you can't add to that work. Neither can you take from that work. For God does it. That men should fear before him. That is, that we should reverence him. May we recognize that in our lives so that when we go through the bumps in the road, we know we're going through. And the Lord has been there. He's been there in the past. How many times has he shown us that he's right there with us? And yet the old flesh so easily gets to where we feel like we're all alone and we just need to hear again. As John needed to hear it in prison. You know, I think about anybody that would baptize our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you would think would never doubt. But John got to a place where he said, "Art thou the Christ, or should we look for another?" I know he knew that he was the Christ, but he needed to hear it again. That's why we're here today. I just need to hear it again, don't you? I need to hear these things over and over again, that I might remember it, and that I might walk in it, that I might believe it. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.